Good evening, it's 6:04. We'll call the meeting to order. First order of business is rise to the pledge of the flag at the front of the room. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. Thank you. Since we don't have a recording secretary, but the meeting is being recorded, we'll take the minutes from here, and she'll get them off of the tape recording at another date. I do expect her to be here, though. Roll call, Commissioner Gillette.
Here.
Mr. Callahan.
Here.
Mr. Lucci.
Here.
Mr. Perkins.
Here.
Mr. Stewart.
Here.
Mr. Murphy. Here. Item number four, special recognitions presentation. We have the badge pinning ceremony for Deputy Fire Marshal Travis Roberts, Firefighter Colin DiMastro. Please state your name.
John Meagle, Fire Marshal. I'd like to call up Travis and Colin. Travis Roberts is our new Deputy Fire Marshal. He is a former Army 35 Mike Human Intelligence Collector Interrogator that serves on active duty from 2010 to 2014 and continues in the Army Reserves until 2017. Upon returning home, he immediately joined the fire service, earning his bachelor's degree along with multiple certifications, including EMT, Firefighter 2, and Hazardous Material. He became a paramedic in 2018 and later obtained his critical care certification in 2021 after responding to a serious structure fire involving a young child. He was inspired to pursue fire prevention and investigation. In 2023, he earned his fire marshal certification along with the Fire Instructor 2 and Fire Officer 2. He went to assist and modernize and completely overhaul the fire marshal's office in the town of Salem. He's now proudly serves the town of Montville. For Colin DiMastro, our newest firefighter, he started in the Oakdale Fire Department at the age of 14. He is a third-generation firefighter. Good for you. He is currently a lieutenant at the North Windham Fire Department. He has completed his recruit school at the Connecticut State Fire Academy, where, when he is not a firefighter, he plays sports and loves lifting weights. So I'd like to first have Travis's pinning, so I'm going to have Christy come up, his wife, and they're going to be doing the pinning. And can I have Chief DiMastro come up and do Collins? Mm-hmm. Yeah, sure.
Yeah.
Of the town and the Constitution of the State of Connecticut and the United States, and you will serve the rest
you'd like to take a couple-minute break so you can do pictures and stuff, that'd be great. And then we'll call the meeting back to order in like 5 minutes. 6:14. For the record, our recording secretary is back at the meeting. The next order of business is communications. Copies of the monthly statistics reports from the fire departments, the fire marshal, police, animal control, and building official, I believe. We had them all.
Nope, except for Montville. Montville FD.
Which one?
Montville.
All of them.
Huh?
You got company. For the month?
You got Montville?
No, except for Montville.
Except for Montville, yeah.
Item number six, to consider and act on a motion to approve the minutes of A, the regular minute meetings of October 27th, 25.
Move to accept.
Is there a second?
A second.
Motion to made and second to approve the regular minute meetings of October 27th, 25. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. And opposed? And now for B. Is there a motion?
Move to accept.
Is there a second?
Second.
Motion's been made and second to approve the special minute meetings of December 8th, 2025. All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
And those opposed? Thank you. Item number seven, remarks from the public on agenda items only with a 3-minute limit. If you come up, please state your name and your address.
Good evening. Mike Morin, 117 Seabury Road, Lebanon, Connecticut. I'm one of the full-time firefighters here. I want to make a comment on agenda item 11A. That's been on the agenda since November of 2023. I think the whole idea of it was to get some baseline on how many volunteers come out, how many pay guys we have, how many calls we go to. The staffing needs to be addressed. I know we're not getting any slower. We're getting busier. M2 wrote a letter a while back saying that he needed help. That needs to get addressed. Like I said, our call volume's up. The union's been collecting data. I know people have said, oh, we're making copies of the sheets. We're finding out the good, the bad, and the ugly. So, and I made some comments at the town council meeting the other night, and I wrote a follow-up email to everybody that got it about having a meeting. I think we're going to make some progress. We need to work together, but we need to keep that on the agenda. We need to act on it instead of just letting it. It's been almost 3 years, so thank you.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else? Anybody else? Seeing none, we'll move on. Thank you. Remarks from the department heads.
All right, John Regal, Fire Marshal. For the month of February, we did 142 inspections and re-inspections. 77 of them were inspections, and then 65 of them were re-inspections. As far as the emergency management side of it, for fire investigations, we did 5. Q64 responded to 1 medical. We didn't have any community events that we did. For emergency management, we had the snowstorms, which we had to attend to. And for the furthermore, for emergency management, the EMPG grant has just opened, so we're going to start filing that out so that we can get our grant money. The nuclear millstone grant was completed February 22nd, so we're waiting to hear back on them. The millstone tabletop exercise and briefing that we did in the EOC was back on the 20th. For the storm prep, we had the 21st through the 24th, which was the snowstorm. We had 2 additional firefighters full-time at Chesterfield, 2 at Oakdale, 2 at Mohican, and Montville requested not to have any. We had three firefighters go to instructor one, and I'm happy to be to announce that they all passed. So they're now certified in fire instructor one, which is great. And that's it.
Could you tell me who those three were?
It's going to be Josh Braga, Mitch Dole, and Noah Dombrowski.
Noah, is the other one? Noah, thank you. Thank you. Amy, Lieutenant.
Dave Radford, Lieutenant Montville Police. The fire marshal's really eager tonight to talk. I'm going to start off with our animal control stats for the month of February. Animal control for the town of Montville, we had four animals impounded for a year-to-date of 83. Number of animals sold as pets was one, year-to-date was 10. Number of animals DOA was one, four year-to-date. Number of animals euthanized was one, four year-to-date. Total complaints investigated were 46, 491 year-to-date. We had one animal bite investigated, 20 year-to-date. And we had total calls of service for 54, 404 year-to-date. Numbers for the town of Salem for the ACO. We had two animals impounded, five year-to-date. And we had five total complaints investigated with 41 year-to-date. Town of Colchester, animal control. We had two animals impounded for 26 year-to-date. One animal sold as a pet for 11 year-to-date. We had 10 total complaints investigated for 98 year-to-date. And we had two animal bites investigated for 11 year-to-date. Town of Bosra, animal control. For February, we had four total complaints investigated for 21 year-to-date. And for the Mohegan Tribe ACO for the month of February, we had no activity. I just want to give you a quick update on the ACO animal control facility. It's moving along. We're in the very final stretches. It's kind of doing some checklist items, punch list stuff. They're completing installing the animal cages, the guillotine doors for the inside and out. Then there's some other little touch-up things. They're going to do a couple things for the control, the state animal controls inspection, and then we'll be ready to give her a call. I'm hoping within the next couple weeks to come down and do the state inspection. I got to say thank you to the Montville Animal Welfare Initiative, Inc., for all the donations and the things they've done for us. They were able to get a pet washer and dryer with pedestals donated. They had gotten the bathtub donated for the dogs. They're in the process of getting us a refrigerator. They got us the desk. They've done a great job with us. They also helped me get a Dime Bank to donate the new sign that if anybody's driven by seeing it out front, the sign came out great. That was donated by Dime Bank. While I'm on Dime Bank, I'd also like to just publicly thank Dime Bank for their donation that they made to our canine program of $2,500. So we're very appreciative of that. I then have some positive correspondence to read. The first one is going to be for Detective Noyce, Detective Safiati, and Officer Fazzino. February 4th, 2026, the Montville Police Department responded to a reported robbery involving the use of a firearm during evening shift. Due to the severity of the crimes committed, Detective Safiati and Noyce were called in to assist at the scene. Detective Safiati and Detective Noyce processed the scene and obtained necessary evidence that would assist in their impending investigation. On February 5th, 2026, while working collaboratively with other agencies, as well as with Officer Fazzino, who was temporarily assigned to the Detective Bureau, but was assigned to cover patrol on that date, they developed information which led to the identification of the prime suspect. Detective Safiati and Officer Fazzino met with and conducted an interview with the suspect at the suspect's residence. Both Detective Safiati and Officer Fazzino conducted the interview with an exceptional level of professionalism and maintained respect and dignity for the suspect. This led to the suspect later providing a full written confession that not only satisfied the armed robbery that occurred in Montville, but also armed robberies that were committed in Norwich and Waterford. Detective Noyce also assisted on scene with preservation and collection of further evidence that was instrumental in linking the suspect to the multiple robberies. All three should be commended in their roles in responding, investigating, processing, continuing, and solving this investigation in such a timely manner. So that's for those three. I also have positive correspondence for Officer Witz. This is from the State's Attorney's Office. Dear Chief Blanchett, I would like to take this opportunity to express my appreciation and admiration for the exceptional work carried out by Officer Witz of the Montville Police Department in the successful prosecution of Atlantic Baldemage for murder. While I have been assigned to this trial, we had two pretrial motion hearings, one from June 16th to June 17th, 2025, and one from November 4th, 5th, 12th, and 25th, 2025. The trial then ran for 3 weeks between January 6th, 26, and January 23rd, 26. Prior to each of these motion hearings and the trial, officers made time to come to the state's attorney's office and discuss testimony. Without the dedication, the hearings and trial could not have progressed as smoothly as it did. Officer Witz played a pivotal role in the investigation and prosecution of this case. His actions on scene on November 5th, 2022, and his knowledge of canine operations provided much needed information and detail to the prosecution of this case. I cannot thank Officer Witz enough for the time and effort he took to prepare and assist with the successful prosecution of this case. Your officer is well prepared, poised, and confident. His dedication to uphold the principles of justice and maintaining the integrity of the legal process is truly commendable. I look forward to working with Officer Witz in the future. Sincerely, Matthew Supley, Inspector, State's Attorney's Office. And I have a positive correspondence for Officer Oshuni. On 12/15/25 at approximately 0131 hours, Officer Oshuni was conducting a routine patrol in the area of 199 Fire Street. Officer Oshuni observed an active fire in a wooded area approximately 75 yards from the roadway. Officer Oshuni immediately notified dispatch and requested fire services to the scene. Officer Oshuni was assisted with assistance of Officer Cassidy, conducted an investigation. Officer Cassidy had information from working the previous shift that three juveniles were known to be in the area and possibly could have caused the fire. Montville fire personnel took over the scene and quickly extinguished the fire. Officer Oshuni and Officer Cassidy interviewed the involved parties and subsequently made a speedy arrest. If not for Officer Oshuni conducting simple patrol checks of a remote area of town, the fire could have become more substantial and could have caused significant damage to the area. Officer Oshuni should be recognized for his dedication to the profession. Officer Oshuni is a credit to himself and the Montville Police Department. And then I have one final one for Officer Fizzino again. This one is from Sergeant Mahar of the Connecticut State Police. Chief, I wanted to take a moment to extend our sincere appreciation for Investigator Stephen Fizzino taking the time to teach gangs to the recruits of the 138th Training Troop. Investigator Fizzino was not only professional, but extremely informative and highly engaging. The material was interesting, relevant, and a great foundation for the future of law enforcement in Connecticut. I truly appreciate the efforts of Investigator Fizzino as well as the collaboration with the Montville Police Department. I hope we continue to foster the relationship and that our recruits can benefit from Investigator Fizzino for years to come. On behalf of the Connecticut State Police Training Academy, please pass along our extreme gratitude for the time, effort, and effort that Investigator Fizzino spent with our recruits. And that's all I have, unless there's any questions.
Anybody have anything for the Lieutenant?
I have a couple of quick questions. You talked about the an animal that came in from Colchester that was sold as a pet. Was that sold in Montville or to Colchester? Out of curiosity.
I don't know for sure. Okay. When we foster out or adopt out animals that have been impounded or taken from different towns, it can go to anybody anywhere, right. So I really don't know.
Okay.
I could find out if you really wanted to.
Just curious. And the generator, I noticed driving by there, the portable generator is still there. Any idea when the permanent ones coming?
I believe another couple months or so.
Okay.
Fingers crossed. But the portable will remain there until it gets there.
Okay.
And thank you, Lieutenant.
All right.
Thank you.
Any other remarks from department heads? Any other remarks? Let's see. Committee and liaison reports. Fire Department, Mr. Perkins.
I can say we're all up to date, other than Montville Fire Company. The other fire companies have handed in their reports from October and went all the way back to February. I don't know how you want me to handle Montville. I don't know if they're just not going to hand them in anymore. But we do not have those.
Okay.
I can go back to the fire activity for December, January, and February. Do you want me to go back from the meetings that we missed, or do you want me just to do February?
I would say probably just do February, because we can see them also. We can, I'll reach out to the chief and see what's up.
So the activity for February 2026, number of calls was 266. Number of fire calls were 52. Number of ambulance was 214. Assist from out of town was 4. Assist out of town, that was for fire. Assist out of town for medical was 4. Assist from out of town medical was 1. And the lift assists in February was 20. We had our volunteer fire relief committee meeting fourth quarter. It's as follows: Montville stipends 5, tax abatement 3. Mohegan had 4 stipends and 0 tax abatements. Chesterfield had 1 stipend and 3 tax abatements. And Oakdale had 7 stipends and 7 tax abatements. We do have our meeting set for 2026 for the volunteer fire relief committee. The next first quarter will be, or first for the first quarter would be April 27th. And we do July 27th, October 26th, and the fourth quarter will be January 25th, 2027. And that is all I have right now.
Thank you. Any questions for Karen? Reports from Animal Control, Commissioner Callahan.
I have nothing to add.
Number C, reports from the Police Department, Commissioner Gillette.
Total calls were 950, 170 motor vehicle, 29 infractions, 6 misdemeanors, 135 written warnings, and that's all.
Thank you. Reports from the Building Department liaison, Commissioner Stewart.
For the month of February, there were 78 permits issued, 89 permits that are pending, 103 inspections completed, active blight 316, blight abated to date 608, and blight pending is 6.
Thank you. Number 10, remarks from any of the fire chiefs? Remarks from any of the fire chiefs? Number 11, unfinished business, to consider an act of a motion to approve the policy, systemize and retain firefighter data to observe trends and effectiveness. I would consider it, either we remove it. Right now, I don't know what you guys want to do.
Could I comment on that?
Yes,
comment
sir. On that, absolutely, Chairman? Mr. Mayor.
I know it's been 3 years, and I know it's been kind of aggravating that we're not getting, we don't seem to be getting anywhere, but it certainly isn't because of a lack of effort on the part of the four companies. There's been a lot of research done. There's been a lot of hours put into it. I ask that you keep it on there, and I will speak to the four chiefs soon and see if we can finalize this.
The only thing I'll add to that, and I agree with you, Mr. Mayor, is that since the inception of the police department, with them having the records that they're now able to get out of dispatch, we as a group are getting more information than we've ever had about response, not about the amount of people who are going, but the amount of calls. So we are getting a lot of information on that, which I think that, soon, I don't know when, that's, things will change or move, but I think the information that we're getting from that is is doing us okay at the point.
Yeah, well, it isn't just about the statistics or just about the number of calls. It's really about getting the four companies and the town on the same system, the same reporting system. And that's been my goal.
Which we're there.
Well, I would like to have just something from the four companies saying that what, for the record, what's being used and how it's being used. That's all.
I couldn't agree with you. So, yes, sir.
Who validates if the data is correct? Like, who's validating if Montville says they have 20 people show up and Mohegan says they have 10 show up, who's validating the responders?
Well, the validation is going to be in the system itself. There isn't going to be someone that double-checks anything. But by everybody having the same reporting system, it'll be the counts and the checks and balances will be within the system.
Steve, can I ask, are you asking because let's just say there were 62 fire calls and on the report we all get says 62 fire calls. Are you wondering how many career firefighters went to that call or how many volunteer firefighters went to that call?
Looking at the whole big picture of the number, like, yes, we may have 10 people that can put an air pack on and go into a building. You may have 5 people that can drive the pumper there and pump the truck, but they're not going to go. They're not qualified to go in the building, right? Mm-hmm. For whatever reason, maybe it's age, maybe it's they're just a better pump operator than they are an interior firefighter, right? Mm-hmm. And then you may have the people that can direct traffic and do all the other ancillary duties on the fire ground. Are we breaking any of that down so we have a clear picture of the staffing and the manpower that's available?
So what are you looking for? Obviously, you know what the career firefighters' qualifications are. Are you, and when they report to a scene, are you looking for each fire department to present to whomever, this committee, the mayor, how many volunteers they have, what are their qualifications, and when they do report to a scene?
I think in a nutshell, like if we're gonna rely on data and we're going to rely on do we have enough people to do it, does the town have to consider adding more career staff, right? I'd really like to know what the numbers are of the people showing up.
So each department has to fill out their own run sheet for that call. They're responsible for what the paid firefighters fill out, that they've gone on their run sheets. The town, the fire departments fill out their own, and then they are entered into the data system that we have. They're forwarded on to the government, and those records are available for anybody to review and to see. That's about the best I could tell you. I mean, I don't know if one of the...
I think what Commissioner Perkins is saying is absolutely correct. I mean, you and Commissioner Logie, we need to get that information because we really don't want to keep hiring and hiring because we just can't afford it. But we need to have that type of data to be able to make those decisions. You can't just say, well, a firefighter, we're going to hire another firefighter for another $100,000. I don't know what that means in tax terms, but it's going to affect the taxes. We can't keep doing it.
And the answer to your question, which I think was a very good question, is we've been trying to get the answer to that, and we don't have it yet.
Okay.
Any other questions on that? Item B, update to the fire company's radio system. Chief Messer?
Chief Messer, Oldfield Fire Company. So currently with the state system, the state miraculously approved our frequency list on the day that the system crashed in the town. That was decided on the way in. So they have approved us to go to give them, to have the vendor give them a quote on the equipment. So that quote has been sent to the state. The state is currently working with the vendor to finalize all the details on what exactly is in the radio, what it's capable of doing, and that it actually will be sufficient for our needs. They're hoping, I know they were at a conference last week. I was talking with the vendor this morning, that they're hoping that they should be wrapping this up shortly, and then once they do that, they will approve the quote that was sent to them, and then it'll go to the town to cut a PO. We're going to do this in a few phases. So the town has allocated initially $350,000. That gets a good chunk of the portables out of the way. It takes care of portables in a smaller amount of portables in the apparatus. It takes care of all of the fire officers. It takes care of the career staff. It takes care of the fire marshal, the deputy fire marshal, gets them a portable. Base radios in the stations.
So,
yep.
Because I don't want to forget it. So before, so you're not talking the first phase any mobile any vehicle radios.
No vehicle radios. First phase.
Okay.
The portables can handle high 80% success rate. So we feel that just to get that off the ground, and we still do have the VHF system that's going to be operational. Until we make the full changeover. So the second phase, depending upon what the town gives us, we roughly need about 450 with current figures to finish.
450,000.
450,000, yep. But that's with a discount that was given from the vendor till the end of June on top of what they had already given us. So I'm not sure what the price is going to go up, because they're also thinking that there's going to be a material increase July 1.
What is the actual price of a portable radio now that we're looking at, the vendor price now?
Depending upon what options are in them, they're right around $3,200.
And for a mobile?
Mobile is just under $3,000.
Just under what?
$3,000.
Okay.
So hopefully we'll have everything wrapped up here shortly.
And you might have mentioned this before, but do you know how many of the fire departments are getting the portable? Did you guys already go through that list? Like Oakdale's going to get this many?
Yeah. So I sent the list around to the chiefs. They came back with their feedback. And
is it all the same? Like,
no.
Oh, no?
No, every department's different based upon their needs, how many apparatus. We're at least putting at least one portable in every apparatus. Some apparatus will have a couple extra, like the engines will have a couple extra. But we still will have the VHF system, so we can use the VHF system for fire ground operation.
Any questions for the chief? Thank you, Chief.
You're welcome.
This one's only been decided on the police. Well, it has, but we never put it on there.
Okay, so under new business 12A, consider an act and a motion to recommend the replacement of a police cruiser that was totaled in an accident in the amount of $32,200. Because we didn't get to meet for 2 months because of storms and so on, this was not able to come up before us, but this is something that we should voice our opinion on. Because this has already been paid, I believe, through the insurance company. But this is still something that should have come before us. But like I said, because we didn't meet, they had to get it done because of insurance and so on. So if anybody would like a motion to approve this.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Motion made and second to approve 12A. Any discussion? All in favor, say aye.
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 And opposed? Thank you. Item B, to consider an act on a motion to approve the 2026 commission meeting schedule as followed: January 26th, February 23rd, March 23rd, April 27th, Wednesday, May 27th, June 22nd, July 27th, August 24th, September 28th, October 26th, November 23rd, December 14th and January 25th, 2027. Of 20, that's the only one for 27. The other ones are all for 26. The meetings will be held in the town hall council chambers at 6 p.m.
So moved.
Motion's been made. Is there a second?
Second.
Any further discussion? All those in favor say aye.
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 And opposed? To consider an act, item number C, to consider an act on a motion to for recommendations of the ATV ordinance to the town council. This is another one of those issues that was brought up why we weren't able to hold a meeting. So if same thing applies, if somebody would like to make, if you have a discussion, if somebody want to make a comment on for the record about that ordinance, just feel free.
Everybody should have had it in their packets to review it.
Yeah, we did.
Yeah. So I when the ordinance was sent back to us, I took a look at it. I don't ride ATVs, so I'm not averse to that. But the ordinance as written seems reasonable to me. I know one of the areas that I believe people like to ride in because it's nice open space is the Eversource transmission line right-of-ways. Eversource has a policy that says they will not give out permission to for anybody to ride, whether written or verbal. So I think the ordinance as written should be approved, sent back to the council for recommendation for approval.
Any other discussion? Hold on.
If I could just add that of the changes that were voiced, or shall I say, one of the issues that were voiced, some of the issues, it was if the officer spotted somebody by the ordinance, where the language was, the officer could take enforcement action if they spotted somebody on known private property. So we kind of changed some of the shalls to may, and it take also that it takes a written complaint from the property owner to make a complaint about a vehicle being on private property. And remember that one of the biggest things we're looking here for is the sale of gasoline to these things. You know, they to try to control how they're fueling these things up. And I think this accomplishes it.
So the other thing that I like to comment about is, you know, I think any landowner that gives permission for somebody to ride on their property, point blank, I think is an idiot. Why you would give somebody permission to ride on your property, because if they wreck, you as the property owner are going to be responsible. Mm-hmm. Just like if somebody walks through your yard to cut through some kid and he trips in a hole and fractures his leg, guess what? Your homeowner's insurance is going to pay. It's the same thing that's going to happen to anybody that you allow to ride. This doesn't make sense to me. The biggest thing that I want to see a lot of action on is these people riding on the roads with ATVs, mini bikes, and things that are not registered. They're a danger, and God forbid if anybody in this room or anybody sitting here hits one of those kids, you have to live with it for the rest of your life. And I don't think that's right. And I think every enforcement should be done by RPD to go after every one of these kids that are riding on the road, or adults. They don't belong on the road unless they're registered. And in my opinion, they should be immediately taken away and sold or destroyed, just like most of the cities destroy them. Take a bulldozer and flatten them. Because you have to get the word out, because New London, Waterford, Norwich, all the cities around us are making these kids stop these street takeovers and riding through the city. So where are they coming? Montville.
Well, it's also going to require a magistrate system to, because you have to afford the people who own these bikes checks and balances and due course.
Absolutely. I'm all in favor of that, Lenny.
And so we are pursuing the magistrate system now, and it's got a lot more work to be done.
Any other comments? Okay, all those in favor on C, say aye. Aye.
Aye.
And opposed?
I think we should do a roll call vote.
Okay. Well, maybe a roll call vote, Gloria? Thank you, Steve. You're right.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan? Commissioner Lucci? Did I get that right?
Yeah, Lucci.
In favor.
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 Thank you.
Karen?
Mrs. Perkins?
In favor.
Thank you.
It's a new year.
Hmm?
It's a new year. It's our first meeting.
Yeah, it is.
So we have to come into another meeting for the budget. So just keep carrying on with this.
We just keep carrying on. If we want to take a break for a few minutes before we start.
All right, we're going to take a 5-minute break just so that if anybody here has to go to the bathroom or anything, because we're going to get into the budget as soon as we come back. To order. Call the meeting back to order. It is 6:55. So the we're going to get into the budget at this moment. So that's what you want to do first, Steve.
You can have those. Those are bigger. They're stapled together to run longer. Let's get the fire marshal out of the way.
We'll do the fire marshal's budget first. Do the fire marshal's budget first.
Any questions or concerns about the budget? I didn't bring mine with me.
I'm sorry?
I didn't bring it with me.
No, it's. And if you want to, here, I have another package here if you want to look at yours, but that's okay. I mean, really, it's for anybody on the commission who wants to look at these or has looked at it, and I don't see any problems with it. It's got the salaries in here, which is good. Anybody have any issues with the fire marshal's budgets? Emergency management fire marshal, I'd like to increase the public safety commission secretary, but think we can do that yet. And then the fire department, anybody have any questions on it?
So that's just for the two salaries of the marshals, correct? The marshal and the assistant?
Well, the marshal, the assistant, and the secretary.
Okay.
That's in the budget right now.
Are you asking for any more paid firefighters?
That's not in fire marshals in this packet yet. We're just working on your salaries at the moment.
The fire marshal, or the emergency management and fire marshal themselves, are two categories. So we'll do those, and then we'll get into the fire marshal, or the fire department, fire side of it. So for emergency management, recommend approval of a budget of $144,485.
I'll make that a motion.
I'll second it.
Anybody else have any comments on it? Roll call.
Commissioner Perkins?
Pass. I meant yes. I pass it, yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Favor.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Lucci?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Favor.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
And the next one is the fire marshal. And this includes the fire marshal, the deputy fire marshal, and the secretary salary. You got to remember that the emergency management and fire marshal split the salary half out of each of the categories. And this one totals out at $147,435.
I'll make a motion pass it, to accept it.
Second. Roll call. Yep.
Commissioner Perkins?
Favor.
Commissioner Stewart?
Favor.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Lugie?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
And Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
Then the Public Safety Commission Secretary salary at $2,000.
Is that an increase from last year?
No. Same thing.
Well, then I would like to recommend that we add an extra $250 to that.
I'll second it.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Roll call.
Yeah, roll call on the increase to from $2,250, and then the original motion to pass.
Okay. As amended, right?
Yep.
Okay. Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Lugie?
Yes.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Stewart?
Favor.
Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
You want me to do the amendment now?
Yeah.
Oh, I thought you were going to.
Oh, no. And make a motion to approve the budget for
$2,250.
$2,250.
Gary?
Yeah.
Who seconded
it? He's favor.
Yeah.
Who?
Gary seconded.
Okay. Who seconded?
I did.
You did.
Gary seconded it.
Pick one.
Okay. I'm listening as I'm writing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Roll call vote. Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Lugie?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
All right, the last one under the fire department or the fire marshal's office is the fire budget. And at present, I believe it includes all 16 firefighters?
That's correct.
Okay. $2,090,375. And this includes the firefighters' salary, overtime, the budgets for the four fire departments, training, uniforms, et cetera, et cetera.
And I don't have that, like,
what?
Was that an increase from last year?
I don't have a total, but it has to be an increase. It's an increase. I just don't know how much. I didn't total that up. Significant.
Is this where he put in for more firefighters?
No, this does not include any discussion on that.
Well, that's okay, Steve.
All right.
I got it here. So I'll make a motion to accept it.
Second.
Lugie.
Okay, roll call vote.
Yep.
Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Favor.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Lugie?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
All right. That finishes the budget. Now we have the capital plan items. Oh, you better come back up. So the first one I have here is a project for iPlan workstation, portable radios, and mobile radios. Is that still valid?
The iPlan table is supposed to be put into the IT program, into the IT capital budget. We went over to Mystic Fire Department to take a look at it, and not only will it serve a purpose of reading plans, but also it will help in the Emergency Operations Center in being able to organize when we have a millstone drill and other items itself. So it'll help out that. And then also on the fire investigation portion of it, we'll be able to take the pictures that we have, and we'll be able to expand them out. So if we miss something or we want to go back into detail, it gives us a bigger screen to be able to see that. So it's a little bit, and it's a newer technology.
You also have access to the 3D one that the police have.
Yep, we have a couple officers that are certified in the Pharos. We also have asked for another one for us too, that we can have a 360 in the room. So that was included in my fire marshal budget.
Okay, the iPlan workstation is for 26-27, and the other two, the radios, are in 27-28. Are they still, you know, still keep them in, or are you going to wait until the bump to 800 goes?
Well, our radio system right now, with the ones that we're asking for, is already included in what Chief Messer has. So we're going to wait for them to go through. We're not going to be asking for any more radios. I do have a couple spares just in case something does malfunction. But at the current time, I don't need to purchase radios for us. I wouldn't want the 800 system to come online. So I have put in a grant money for the radio system, for radio portables for ourselves, too. So I'm kind of hoping that the nuclear grant goes through, that it will pay for itself, and then we get the money back.
Okay. The other item you have is for turnout gear.
That's correct.
For $33,840 for six sets of gear.
So for every year that we get a new set, we don't have a large burden on the taxpayers themselves. We purchase little by little to replace them as they come along. So right now I still have two firefighters at least that need another set. Per contract, they need to have two sets.
So in your listing here, you list, and this kind of jumped out at me, fire gloves times two. So they get two pair of gloves?
Two pairs of gloves, that's correct.
Okay. Clarifying it.
What are the oldest, when was the last time they got new gear? Let's say take firefighter Dole.
When was the last time?
Older Dole.
He's old.
Well, 3/4 inch boots aren't.
So Ryan, firefighter Scholes, keeps track of all the gear, when they expire, and when it needs to be purchased. So he keeps track of that. He reports to me, and I put it in a budget to be replaced for the year that's coming up that they're being expired.
So you're putting in for six sets?
Correct.
But you know that you already need two, right? Off the bat. So you're having four extra sets.
That's correct.
So those people that you're having four, are these going to just be in storage, or are you looking to replace the ones that need to be replaced because of the date?
Yes. The ones that need to be replaced because of the date. Because they're getting close to being expired.
Okay.
So they're within that time frame of expiration before the next budget year comes along. So I need to get them first.
So between now, or between this July 1st.
Yes. And the following.
And the following year, those four will be due. And they'll
be
no longer in service, no longer good for life.
Correct.
Okay.
So we'll have that.
Now, are they being replaced because of time, which is, what, 10 years?
10 years, correct.
But they're also being inspected, so they could be replaced earlier than that if they're worn past their...
Correct. So last year we did the inspection of them, and we did have a couple tears and things like that. We had them replaced. It wasn't in last year's budget, but I put in for this year's budget for the cleaning and the repair of the equipment itself. The company comes in and does all four departments, does the career staff, the whole nine yards. So, but we still have to replace the ones that are expired. Mm-hmm. So... Mm-hmm.
So those are the two capital items, the iPad or iPlan workstation and the turnout gear that is the fire marshal has submitted. make a motion that we accept the those two items.
Second.
Steve, you might want to note that that new total also is the totals changed. So the new total, by my math, is $44,730.
Because the original capital that I put in was for 30-something thousand for the gear, because the I-plan table was supposed to be proposed in the capital budget for the IT department.
Well, I'm just saying that this is for your budget now. If we accept this capital budget, we have to add that item, the 33,840.
I just want to make sure that you were aware that why I didn't put it in there, because it was
no,
was
I get priority, it. So but to accept, if you're going to accept the budget, it should be that number.
What's the number, Brian?
Hang on. 44,730.
Okay.
Wait for roll call vote.
We'll do them as one item.
But you want to repeat that out?
Okay. Make a motion that we recommend approval of the fire marshal's capital plans to include the I-plan workstation for $10,890 and the firefighter gear replacement for.
Should be something 97 cents at the end.
Well, you're going to just contribute that, right?
It's the extra dollar I have in my pocket.
Yeah, round up. It's a penny, you know. Roll call.
Is he again seconding?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
Can we just have a discussion? I have a question to ask.
Oh, sure.
So that 10,890, he has it on his CIP, but did he say it was going on the IT CIP?
Well,
I'm just asking.
I mean, it's an IT type of material, so IT will probably be responsible for it.
What originally was going to happen, what happened was that I was going to propose it myself for my department. But then I went to the IT because it's an IT item. They said, no, we're going to propose it in our capital. Just give me, you know, an error of it. And I did. So.
So now I'm confused. I just want to make sure it ends up in two budgets. I don't want to see it in the IT budget and your capital budget. So one of the two of you has got to take ownership of it. Oh, we're going to be duplicating that $10,890.
It's going to have to go to IT because he's the one that's going to purchase it and program it and everything like that. And that's what he has. That's what he proposed. He wanted. Bill O'Neill wanted it. He wanted to propose it because I told him I was going to, and he said, "No, I'll do it." So, it's an IT item.
Okay.
So then we got to take.
Yeah. So we're.
Cancel that back one. We're back to the 33,840 again, I guess.
I'm going to withdraw my motion. Steve's going to accept that, and we're going to create a new motion that says recommend approval of the fire marshal's capital improvement plan for new turnout gear of $33,840.
Second.
Would you mind adding in that motion that you're going to remove the I-Plan workstation FD-0005?
We retracted our motions on that. We hadn't voted on it yet.
Oh, okay. Well, I'm just saying it's still in here, so we got to zero it.
Well, that's something he's going to have to do.
His IT's going to give it to him.
All right. Now, while we're still with the fire marshal.
Wait a minute.
I know we
need a roll call vote, right? We need a roll call vote.
Yeah.
Okay. Commissioner Gillette.
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan.
Yes.
Commissioner Lugi.
Favor.
Commissioner Murphy.
Favor.
Commissioner Stewart.
Yes.
And Commissioner Perkins.
Yes.
Now, in addition to the new turnout gear, We also have an indication here from the fire marshal that he would like to add additional staffing in the fire marshal's office due to an increase in inspections. Like to request a fire inspector. Don't know how much he would cost. So, in fire protection, I will be requesting four additional firefighters due to increased call volume and the expansion and construction of several housing units in town. And you have a meeting with the mayor on the 31st.
That's correct.
Okay.
So the
let's start with the inspector.
That's where I was going to go.
Okay.
So with the inspector, at this point in the game, we have with all of the three story that's coming up over here on 32 down by Fort Shantok. We also have the lofts that just opened up. And then we have more of them that are going to be open up across church. So, I mean, they're just expanding everywhere. I don't have time. I need more help so that I have time to review plans. So more help in the office to get these items done would be great. It'd be less of a workload. I'll be able to concentrate more on the things that need to be done. Also, with the supervision of the career staff, I'll be able to supervise them even more.
At one time, there was a position for inspector, wasn't there? But we dropped it because we didn't need it. I mean, it's not.
Who knows?
Yeah, okay.
I'm assuming they cut it because of cost.
Yeah, I mean, it was in there, but what the position wasn't being filled, so.
It was filled.
At some time, and then it kind of lapsed again, and, I mean, as long as you've been here, we've only had just the two. So.
Yeah. We have a huge explosion in housing. Businesses are coming in. I mean, we're not getting any smaller.
No.
That's for sure. So.
Is it something that you could do per diem person?
I could do part-time, yes. Absolutely. I still would need at least part-time or higher. Because the amount of workload that we have and the follow-ups that we have on this, we definitely need it, for sure. And then the emergency management side of it, I'm taking care of, too. So it's a lot, a big load that it could be distributed out better.
So if it was something that you had part-time, 20 hours a week?
Yeah.
Sufficient?
20 hours or whatever the minimum is before paying benefits would be greatly appreciated. But I would like full-time because it will help in all aspects of it, including the on-call. So if they're full-time, the on-call would be for the current fire marshals every third week. And then also, if one of us is out, it gives a backup to the other one. Say, for instance, my deputy goes on a trip, and it's just me. Safety-wise, there should be two eyes. There should be two people there. God forbid something happens to me or happens to the other person, we have someone there. And it also, for the investigation portion of it, maybe I won't see something that the other person will. So it's more detailed, and that gives a higher quality assurance of being able to complete the job to its fullest.
I'm not saying that I don't think that you need it. I'm just trying to figure out the best way to give you some hours that's not going to cost the town a lot of money, because we wouldn't have to pay benefits, for a full time. But if you're telling me that there are people out there that could work part time, a 20-hour week person, whatever, I don't know what that magic number is.
The biggest issue with having a part timer in general, because a lot of these other fire marshals that are out there will come part time, but they're available during the evenings, and because they have a full time job themselves. Me hiring a person that will come in, do the job, help out, distribute the workload would be a lot better. It'd be a lot of stress, and instead of having to situate, I do enough scheduling as it is with the career staff that I need to be able to do, say, he's hired full-time, we're good to go, he can go out, he's got his assignment for the day, him and the deputy will have assignment, and I'll be able to concentrate on the administrative side of it.
So in the time that Fire Marshal Barnes left,
okay,
how long were you without an assistant?
He left July 25th, and then
February, sometime in February, early February, was when my assistant was there.
So almost 7 months.
Yes.
So in that 7 months, I know that you were bogged down, you know, because of our conversations that we had. Do you think that now that you have a full-time deputy, that you, I would hope that you start seeing some relief?
The relief and the results of the deputy are very high and very good. But still, that workload is still there, and I still have more of a workload that can be distributed out. And so that can concentrate, say, for instance, another one, the grants that I have to do. It takes a lot of my time for emergency management, the nuclear grant, things of that nature. And there's a lot of updating that still needs to be done. We need to stay on top of everything. Codes are changing. Again, the explosion of the buildings that are out there, the amount of people that are coming in. You're not going to always say, hey, we're going to go and do an apartment building, and then all of a sudden everybody and their sister opens up their doors to their apartments. We have to constantly go back, reschedule. It takes more time, and that time is not the time I need. I need back so that I can do it, do other stuff itself. So it's not that easy, unfortunately. So,
Mary, what is that number where you can hire somebody without paying benefits hours a week?
19 and a half?
19 and a half, yeah.
Thank you. Well, I'm going to make a motion that we recommend to the council that they hire a part-time person for 19 and a half hours a week.
Again, the workload is there.
I understand, John.
So,
there are some things you have to...
completely.
I fully get it. Believe me, I do.
I'll second it.
Okay, now we can discuss it. I think it's a good idea, and I think that starting part time may not be the ideal situation, but it gets somebody in the door, gets them working, and if next year, even mid year, if the situation gets worse, you come back, come to the town council and say, hey, we need to bump this up to full time. Well, you justify it.
I think, Steve, is with the Commissioner Stewart, I agree with him 100%. In order to get this going, I know I'm talking with councilors, talking with the mayor, where the budget system is going. Mm-hmm. And if you want to get somebody in the door, Start slow, and when those buildings are fully blown and you really need to get going, you can come back.
Okay.
But I think it would help you out in the beginning.
Sounds good.
Any other discussion?
Are you going to, or Mayor, maybe this is for you, are you going to work with Maria to develop a salary schedule for this? Because we don't even know what the cost is going to be yet.
Right. We don't know. We're looking at minimum wage now. Certainly wouldn't apply, but still, minimum wage went up. And the different part-time capacities that we have at various hourly rates. I wouldn't even begin to guess what the hourly rate would be.
Probably around 30, I would say, or high 20s.
Yeah,
I would guess. But I would have to confirm on the surrounding towns, see what they pay their part-timers. So, but that was something I'll talk to the mayor about when we have our meeting. So, on that.
In your hours that you would want them to work, I know it's 19 and a half, but you might want them all day on Wednesday. I don't know. You don't.
Yeah, it would have to be. It's all in the scheduling portion of it. We'll see how it goes. I'm not sure exactly if we'll do just one day or 2 days, they can come in and do that type thing. So this will be a new schedule for us. But yes,
I think about that one. Yes.
Absolutely,
that would be good.
Yeah.
Okay.
Roll call vote. Go ahead.
Certainly. I just want to verify, so the motion was made by Gary, and it was seconded by Steve Lugie, right?
Yep. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Commissioner Perkins?
Yes. Yes, favor. Paying attention.
Favor.
Commissioner Stewart?
Favor.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Lugie?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
All right, now the other half of this request was four more firefighters.
So the four additional firefighters that I'm asking for would be to staff Chesterfield and add an additional two to the Mohican Station. The call volume for the EMS is there, and it would be able, it would support them. And also that when I went to a recent fire, there was an issue with manpower, that we needed manpower, and I didn't have it. So we had to rely on other towns to come in and assist us. It would be appropriate to have that manpower already on scene to be able to do that. Now, I've supplied these to the storms that we've had recently, where I had two at Chesterfield, two at Oakdale, and then I had four over at Mohican, and it worked perfectly wonderful. There was no doubt about it. Everything went, all the calls got answered. The population's growing. Again, here we go, back to population's growing, call volume's going up, the lofts are open now, we're getting calls over there. We're running, at least, I think it's within recently, if I'm not mistaken, is that Mohican Tribe has done 29-30 calls so far this year for mutual aid here.
That's all? They should be doing more, as far as I'm concerned.
I mean,
they always say they want to be good neighbors. So complaining about, going on EMS calls should not be one of them.
Yeah, but I mean, why should we deplete them for when we can have?
Because when they need us, we go there. That's what the mutual aid system is about.
But how often does that happen?
It doesn't matter what it
often.
Is.
Well, so far since I've been here, I haven't. Maybe we went the other night to the tribe, but they have enough staffing. And then we went to the Foxwoods. Well, that was a big tower fire, so that was something that they definitely needed us for. So.
Exactly. That's. For the sakes that we can. Anything else that you want to add, John?
No, go ahead.
For the sake, just so we can talk about this openly, I'm going to make a motion that we do not hire four more paid fire staff. This is only for discussion purposes. You can.
All the surrounding towns right now are currently.
Give me a second.
I'll second for discussion.
Okay. All those in favor to discuss this?
No,
discussion.
It's now we discuss it.
All right.
Okay.
Go ahead, John. Okay. Finish up.
All right. So right now, all of the surrounding towns, Waterford, East Lyme, Mystic, like all the towns around us are expanding their crews. We are the smallest crew, and yet our population is high. We're almost in the same boat as they are, and our staff level is down low. So we need to bring us up so that we're safer. These guys are operating with bare minimum, and they really do need to have more manpower to be able to do what they need to do. You come to a fire, you should be able to pull that hose off, put out the fire, and not worry about getting anybody hurt. We're having bare minimum where one person sets the pump and the next person goes into the fire or waits, and then there's nobody at the pump manning the pump. There's no commanding staff there at the time. I mean, it's NFPA, what was it? I think it's 1971, or NFPA states that we should have at least 16.
What do you have?
No, on the shift.
I know.
On the shift.
So let me ask you this, John. How many firefighters does Waterford have?
I can't give you that number. I don't have any of those numbers.
We have 16, right?
We have 16 total.
16 total?
Yes, but on...
So I just want to know how many they have total in Waterford. Does anybody out there know? How many does East Lyme have? I know they definitely don't have 16, and that their mayor just told them, we are on a hiring freeze. There will be no police and no fire hired. They don't have anywhere near 16. Colchester has nowhere 16. Ledger has nowhere near 16. There's not another department that has more than we have in this town.
Yes, but you're talking about 16 overall.
Well, then change the
not
schedule.
Not on shift.
Let's change the schedule.
On shift, it's different.
Why is it different? They have two paid firefighters in East Lyme. They have two in Nyantic. And they have one out south at their North Station sometimes.
But also, it's not fair to the taxpayers, too. You got two guys that are going... Wait. Bear with me. You got two guys that are going from Chesterfield to Oakdale, okay, during the day, leaving Chesterfield completely empty, right? You also have a Mohican Station that has a few volunteers, but they still need help, and they're asking for our help. We have two guys there, but when that leaves, we have an ambulance that's coming from across town at Oakdale to go to a Mohican call, which is delaying the care.
I thought we were supposed
to have the best care here for the town, for the taxpayers. Our response time shouldn't be that long.
So, and what is the amount, the EMS calls, 80%?
Yeah, give or take.
Roughly 80%?
Yeah.
So why are we hiring more firefighters? Why don't we hire EMTs?
Because if you just have EMTs, then you only have, then if a fire comes in, you still have the two guys.
When you're talking about a fire, how many are we talking a year here? Not saying that we don't get them. And I'm not saying that to jinx us. But Montville has relatively low fires. Our biggest issue, and believe me, I've talked to firefighters that work in this town, and their biggest complaint to me is EMS and how many times they're gone. So if we find out how to hire more EMTs in this town,
but why not?
We would need to have firefighters.
But why not cross-train them so that you have firefighters and EMTs?
Because, John, $2 million is going for fire services. How much more do you think the taxpayers of Montville can absorb? You live in a town that's small. You're lucky you have a fire some volunteers out there. You're not running... You know, these small towns, Salem, they run two guys. So that's, you know, everybody that you guys all work for and where you live in small towns. How much do you think the citizens can afford?
If you're calling my town small, it's not. It's 55.1 square miles.
I'm talking people.
So,
how many citizens do you have?
We have 7,000 people.
And Montville's got 18,000,
19,000. So, and that right there justifies why we should have more people.
We've had the same...
Your population is huge.
We've had the same population, give or take, fluctuating for the last 10 years.
But yet the Box of Laughs, they had applications up so many that they had to turn away people. On top of that, you have a three-story building that's going on across from Fort Shantock. You have another 8 buildings that are going to be showing up here across Church Street. You have Chapel Hill, which is now going to be another, I don't know, like 12 houses over there.
34.
Whatever. But as you can see, there's... You're expanding. It's huge. Your population is not going to stay the same.
I understand that. And the town looks like we buy these buildings, and we're going to grow the loft, and we're going to do this, that they're going to be revenue for the town.
Right. But
and every single thing we're doing is going to police, fire, the dog warden. We can only take so much. And you know what? I'm going to stop talking about it because it doesn't matter what we, in my own opinion, what we recommend here. It goes to the council. You could recommend 50 guys, and the council isn't going to approve it. They're just not. So you know what? I'll stop speaking on it, and if anybody else has anything to say, go ahead.
I do. Talk to a couple of the chiefs? You said you talked to them, and they think that we need more new firefighters?
That's correct.
Would you have a reason for that? Is it because...
They just
volunteers
don't.
Volunteers are busy working, and
their volunteers are busy working during the daytime, which is one of the highest call volumes that we have. And on top of that, as we all know, the volunteer system is not supportive. I won't say supportive. Is not increasing. It's decreasing. Volunteers are decreasing, calls are increasing. This is a problem.
Hard because they do work. They do have a
I'm not in any way, shape, or form saying negative things about the volunteers. I am a volunteer myself. I've been doing it for 25 years, and I love every square inch of it. But let's admit it. It's not getting easier. The generation now doesn't want to do it. They're not going to be able to get volunteers. I myself, as a recruiter in my own town, can barely get people to come out and help out. Like it's happening everywhere. But you're putting by us not providing the service that we need to, we're putting the town at risk of not being able to supply the emergency services that we need.
So you feel by putting in for 4 paid firefighters, that's going to help with this town, so we don't have a lawsuit or something happens bad.
Liability wise, correct. Absolutely.
What does that 4 people do? What does that look like? How does that staff the firehouses?
It increases again. Mohican Station will have the 4 because they are one of the busiest sites in town, along with Montville. So they'll assist Montville, and then Chesterfield's empty. So we need to fill that because they have very few volunteers. So not only are you covering Chesterfield, but it's also a backup to Oakdale. And in Oakdale is a backup to Chesterfield. The call volume's there.
So you're saying 4 at Mohegan, 2 at 24-7, 4
24-7 over at Chesterfield, and another 24 over at Mohegan. So.
Just like the snowstorm.
Yes.
With 4 people?
Both those ambulances run, and when there's no ambulance in Montville,
I'm just trying to. Maybe I'm in a fog here, but I can't see how 4 people are going to do what you're saying they're going to do with the present schedule.
Then we'll do the daytime. So they'll work Monday through Friday, at least for the busiest, so that the volunteers, when they come home at night, they could help out, and then during the weekends. The weakest point that we have right now is during the week. Everybody works. We all have to work to make a living, feed our families. But we still need to cover the town.
Is there any way that any of this could be more of a part-time than full-out, full-time for people?
If you do it, then you would have to, it would not work at all, because the part-timers would be like, I can work this week, but I can't work next week. It's more of a scheduling issue than anything else.
Yeah, but that kind of happens, I feel like, with a lot of things anyway. And if they want to work, they have some hours, and this is what's available for them.
I know, but if I can't fill the schedule because I don't have any part-timers to do it, what am I going to do? I still have to provide that service to those people. And then at that point, then you're talking about overtime to pay for the career staff to staff those firehouses. When I could have full-timers Monday through Friday, and they can cover during the weekday, and then drop down during the evening and at night.
Even filling 4 more shifts is going to be difficult because everybody else, as he pointed out, is hiring.
Yeah, I'm not. I agree with you, Steve. I'm not following the math here. It's not making sense on how you're going to hire 4 people and how that's going to work out when you got 4 shifts.
So
you're going to add 1 person somewhere in the town to make this work. If you're working 24/72s, you're going to add 4 people. That's 1 person per shift.
Let's back off on the 24s, okay? Let's just do Monday through Friday, 40 hours, and we could do 2 on one side and 2 on the other side.
So we're going to change the classification of firefighters from the way they are now, 24/72s?
Yes, because according to the contract, we can do that. It can be done. It actually has a schedule in the contract where they've had that,
where they could fill during the daytime. So that schedule is there.
Any other discussion?
Yeah, one other thing. Just thinking about this. I think we need to be very cautious when we try to compare the demographics of Montville to the demographics of Waterford, East Lyme, Groton, or anybody else. Our populations aren't the same. Our square miles aren't the same. Our number of occupancies aren't the same, commercial, industrial, whatever they may be. If you drive down Route 85 in Waterford from Crossroad to I-95, pretty much what's there encapsulates everything that the town of Montville has, if you think about that.
Yes,
but any slime, drive from the Flanders Four Corners to the Dunkin' Donuts. That's about what we got in Montville, never mind downtown Nyack or anyplace else. Again, the demographics of every town are completely different. So we can't base numbers on demographics. I don't think that's a fair representation of how to base our decisions.
But population-wise, your population is growing.
I understand that.
We need to serve those people. If we want Montville residents and we want to serve them properly and we want people to move here, we need to make sure that we can provide the service to them.
I don't disagree with that theory, but again, we cannot compare what we're having to what everybody else has. We're Montville. We've got to look at that and keep it confined to Montville and what we've got. I mean, you're looking at you made a comment about commercial development coming in. I would assume
residential.
Well, we're also got commercial stuff coming in, probably. I'm sure those will all be protected occupancies, so we know the amount of fire there, the fire load. It's going to be pretty much taken care of by a sprinkler system, or minimized by a sprinkler system. If you're doing apartment houses, is it required that those be protected?
No.
They don't have to be protected in any way, shape, or form?
Not right now that the state is pushing, no.
The reason is the
state is not pushing for sprinklers to be mandatory inside of homes. The reason is the insurance companies are coming back because it'll create more water damage, and then it's worse off than just having a fire.
But I'm talking about, you said, I noticed that we're looking at putting in a lot of bigger occupancies in town.
Correct.
That may be residentially, apartment buildings, you know, all that type of nonsense. But none of those have to be protected either?
They do have to be protected. It depends on what the building is being built at. As it all depends on the code. They have certain requirements that they have to make to have sprinklers in it.
Right, so would you happen, maybe you don't, I'm not trying to put you on the spot. Would you happen to know of what's projected over the next couple of years in this town? And I believe we have a meeting coming up. Mayor, what night is it we're looking at that new, the plan there for talking about housing? And I think it's coming up this week.
32 and 163 revive?
Yeah.
It's Thursday.
Yeah. And that's going to be, we're going to be talking about occupancies, et cetera, in that meeting. So would you happen to know how many residential, large-scale residential occupancies maybe in that plan, and whether they're protected or not?
Nothing's been presented to me that I could let you know.
No. All right. Fair enough.
But I do know what's here and what's coming right now, mm-hmm. as far as the buildings that have been presented to me. So just today I was looking at the one in Chapel Hill. I mean, that's still.
Huh. Those are all single story, right? Single story up on Chapel?
Single story, yes.
My comment is I tend to agree I don't like the idea of hiring more, but I think sadly it's inevitable. But trying to hire four at one time, it just seems way too much. But on the same token, I can't right off the top of my head come up with a schedule where you could hire just one at a time and going forward one a year. But I think it definitely needs some looking at.
When's the finance committee? When is that he presents his wanting for more firefighters? When is that meeting? Do we know that yet?
There's been nothing scheduled yet. next finance committee meeting, I'm not sure what that is. I can find that out. But.
Well, that's where he would present and go to that meeting where he, why he wants the four and present numbers there, correct?
Yeah. Well, that'll be presented in, when that time comes, yeah, to the finance committee.
And at that point, if that was to go forward and prove, you would have the rotation you can present, like with
the rotation, yes. Absolutely, for the four.
The next finance committee meeting, I believe, is the 2nd of April, Mayor? Sound about right?
That's the reason, I mean.
2nd of April, yeah.
So 2nd of April is the next finance committee meeting. I'm on the finance committee. That's why I'm asking these questions. Don't, please, just so you know that. It's my job. It's my job. It's my job.
I just can't say for sure that the any kind of budget proposal is going to be taken care of at the April meeting. I'm not sure about that.
Yeah, we haven't.
Special meetings for that?
We haven't. We haven't even got into the budgets yet. We're just waiting. It is my belief the way it works. Once the mayor presents his budget, then that's when the finance committee looks at his budgets, and we start meeting with each individual entity in the town or department in the town.
Who sits on that committee? I'm just.
Myself, Councillor May, and Councillor Southard. And just to be clear to everybody sitting in the audience, I'm not saying the taxpayers don't deserve to be protected the way they should be protected. I'm just saying, and I think Commissioner Stewart alluded to it, we need to come up with a plan. And it's got to be a plan that will work. When you look at that last year's numbers for a firefighter based on, matter of fact, I was just looking at it tonight. Stand by. Just give me 2 seconds here. For new firefighters, before this new, well, the contract isn't settled yet, I don't believe. You're looking at about, based on what the employee is, based on their insurance plan, it could be a low of about $97,000 and a high of about $118,000 per year salary. And that's inclusive of all their benefits. So if you were to hire four people, 120 times four is 480. That's just short of $500,000.
But how much is a life worth?
How much
is the liability?
You could have 100 firefighters.
I'm not.
How much is that life worth?
I'm not debating that. I understand what a life is worth. I'm just saying that we need to come up with a little bit better plan than just throwing darts at the board and trying to figure out how we're going to make this go. If you're going to present this to the Finance Committee, just I would highly suggest that you come up with a very comprehensive plan on how you're going to utilize these four people and where they're going to be stationed, how many hours a week they're going to work, et cetera, salaries. We need numbers to look at.
I will have those numbers for you at the next meeting.
Very good. Then we at least can have things to look at, and we could, it's measurable. Thank you.
Can I vote on it? Roll call vote.
Yeah. Roll. Any other discussion? Roll call vote, and the motion is to not hire four at this time.
Motion was made by Gary. Chairperson Murphy, second by me. Vice Chair.
Yep.
Roll call vote. Commissioner Perkins?
I disagree.
Commissioner Stewart?
No.
Commissioner Murphy?
Yes.
Oh, wait a minute. Is this one of those yes, no things?
Yes.
I was going to say yes.
It's either favor or opposed.
Yes.
Wait. Okay.
If you vote yes, you're saying we're not going to hire him at this time.
Yes. Change mind to yes.
Change yours to yes?
Yes.
Is that your question? Huh?
Commissioner Lucci?
Yes.
Yes? Okay. Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillette?
Against. Against. No.
Two, three, four.
What's it?
tally.
4-2.
Okay. I'm confused about this because I've, okay, I've got 1, 2, 3, 4 yeses and 2 against.
So the motion fails. I mean, the motion passes not to hire at this time.
That you recommend sending to town council, but that doesn't mean he can't go to the finance and present to them. Is that correct?
I'm not recommending to anybody other than we voted not to.
Well, that's the recommendation.
Yeah, the recommendation is, I don't know who it goes to. That's, Commissioner Baker, I'm sure, will relay that to the commission. To the council.
Mayor, I would assume that even though they voted against it, he still wants to make a presentation to the finance committees well within his right to do that.
Absolutely.
Hope that clarifies everything.
This is only a recommendation.
A recommendation. Yes. Right? This is nothing that's set in stone.
You can still go forward to the finance committee and make a presentation if you wish. It's not stopping you.
Well, that takes care of the fire marshal's office. Let's do the police department next.
Let me do the police department next.
We have the police, we have the public safety building, we have dispatch, and we have animal control. Let's do the public safety building real quickly. It's easy because there's no salaries associated with it. So proposal. Is for $88,250 for the public safety building. Which includes increase in electricity. I don't have the exact figures on that. Building maintenance went up, natural gas, water and sewer looks up, and miscellaneous supplies and equipment. Maintenance and repair. Any thoughts on that?
If I can just ask one question real quick to the mayor. This is separate from our reviewing of the budgets?
They're reviewing what you proposed.
Okay.
Submitted to me.
Okay. Thank you, sir. Nothing to say with the public safety building other than I just basically went off, the best guesstimate, if you will, off the current numbers.
Make a motion to recommend approval of the public safety building budget in the tune of $88,250.
Second.
Mickey?
Roll call.
Roll call vote.
Yep.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Lugi?
Yes.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Stewart?
Favor.
And Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Six.
Next one, animal control. Recognize this is a a new building, things aren't going to be the same, but you're still maintaining the old building. The total on this one is $104,450. Now, for anybody who's got a copy of this, animal control officer salary is zero. That's because the officer animal control officer is being paid as a police officer. So that's coming out of the regular police department budget. Assistant salary, $70,000. That's for multiple assistants, I assume?
Yes, sir. It's the same as current.
Okay. So, again, the total is $104,450. Recommend approval of that number.
Second. Any further discussion? Roll call vote.
Just one quick question, Lieutenant.
Yes, sir.
The cost for the new animal control facility are in this one area here?
As far as you're referring to the
building
operating
right operational cost, yes, operational.
That is yes. We made our best effort. I know you. I see it's listed, or it's still listed in there as propane, the $25,000. It does not have propane currently. The new facility will be electricity. That'll be the difference. And the $25,000 honestly is just starting somewhere because we don't know what it's going to cost yet.
But your supplies, all that stuff, is that's your best guesstimate as well?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Thank you.
Roll call, though.
Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Favor.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Lucci?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillette.
Favor.
Be right with you.
Bring you a bigger calculator for next year.
Well, you know, if I had the numbers before, it wouldn't be so bad. But okay. All right, let's do dispatch. Dispatch total is 1 million. $18,155. That's to include dispatcher salaries, $644,905, no part-timers, overtime of $325,000, training uniforms, et cetera, et cetera.
If I could, Commissioner, real quick.
Yep.
When this budget was submitted, we were in the process, which has since been signed. There is an MOU between the union and the town for part-time dispatchers.
Okay.
So we have added an $8,000 line item for the part-time dispatchers.
$8,000. Okay.
I'm glad you brought that up because I was going to ask that question.
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
All right. So the total of that, the dispatch budget, which also includes, maintenance and upkeep for the total response, next-gen interface, annual costs, renewing software, and upgrading some of the radio system that's the 800 megahertz. Also in there. So that recommend approval of the dispatch budget at $1,026,155.
Second. Any discussion?
Yeah, one question.
Yes.
We did have that catastrophic failure of the radio system this past year, and I know you guys covered that out of your budget. You okay with everything? You had enough to take care of that?
We, through the assistance of the mayor, it was spread out in different areas, and it was covered. We couldn't encompass it completely out of our budget, but with the assistance of the mayor, it got covered.
But you guys, everything's good then?
Yes, sir.
Thank you.
Is there any anticipated cost with the fire department upgrade to their radio being?
Our current upgrades that we did to the dispatch last year encompass everything, including when the fire departments come on board.
Any other discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Oh, before we have that, the final figure is $1,026,155.
Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Murphy?
Yes.
Commissioner Lucci?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
Okay. That last part of the police budget is the police. And this includes secretary salary, chief of police salary, all the police officer's salary, clerical staff salary, overtime, special events, canine expenses, training conferences, uniforms, law enforcement programs, radio repairs, weapons and ammunition. Now, there's going to be a change in that coming up, right? Replacing weapons or?
In the future, we're 3 or 4 years into our weapon system, which they recommend replacing every 5 years or so. So probably next year in our capital, we'll address that issue.
Okay. Vehicle supplies, physicals, cell phones, boat maintenance, DARE supplies, grant funding. To the grand total of $3,684,845. Recommend approval of the police department budget.
Again, Commissioner, before I don't mean to interrupt you, but one thing has changed since the submittal of this. Under our uniform line item, what our intent was, we have part of our contract, we have a boot allowance that's annual, and it has been coming out of our uniform allowance. So we had discussed with the finance director to have it as a separate line item for our boot allowance because it's contractual and it's coming out of the department's line item. It was recommended that we just add that $5,500 into our uniform allowance. So that changed to $23,500.
Under uniforms?
Under uniform, yes, sir. Yeah.
25 what?
23.5.
23.5, okay.
Thank and that's you. The only addition we have for this.
23.500.
That'd be an addition to the that would make the uniform line item from 18,000 to 23,500.
Yes, sir.
This changes your total that you're proposing?
Yep. Of course it will.
And your math comes out to be?
Oh, you're looking for fast fingers here. We ain't got fast fingers.
$3,708,345.
Additional
$5,500. I just did that.
And that brings it up to $3,690,345. Recommend approving the police department police budget at $3,690,345.
Second.
Motion remains second to accept that number. All those, any discussion? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
I mean, sorry, roll call vote.
Commissioner Gillette.
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan.
Yes.
Commissioner Lugi.
Favor.
Commissioner Murphy.
Favor.
Commissioner Stewart.
Yes.
Commissioner Perkins.
Yes.
All right, last part of the police is the capital improvement, and the only item on here is tasers, and we're looking at getting 10 tasers.
Yeah, what it is, sir, is last year we had put in for our capital improvement for the new Taser 10 support system for the entire department, which was approved last year, and it's a 5-year payment plan. So we're 1 year into it. We have 4 years remaining of that $28,211 for the payment plan.
So we really just approved it already last year?
It was, yes. Yes, ma'am. It's passed. We've already got the tasers, and this would be our second payment.
Man, these are expensive. Everything's expensive. So make a motion to recommend approval of the capital improvement plan for the police department at $28,211 to cover the cost of some new tasers as part of a ongoing taser program.
Second.
Who seconded it? Commissioner Gillette seconded it. Any further discussion? What happens to the old ones, Lieutenant?
The old taser system is just taken offline. We have them now that, if possible, we're looking to see if possibly some area PDs still use them, if they have any use for them, if anything could be. Oh, no, wait a minute. No, that's
what you got. We sold them.
Yes.
We sold them?
The money went back into the general fund. We sold them to a sheriff's organization out west.
Okay.
For $10,300, and it was $300 to ship them. So the money went back into the general fund.
Very nice. Thank you, Chief. Yes, thank you. Okay. So, the only cost is $8. Any other discussion? Roll call vote.
Wait a minute. Okay. Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Stewart?
Favor.
Commissioner Lucci?
Favor.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Motion passes.
Yes. Yes.
All right.
Yes. Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Lieutenant.
So the last one we have to do is the building department.
Above fire.
That was all part of fire marshal's budget. Okay. Was there anything you wanted to? Okay.
I didn't have it. I couldn't find it. That's what I
picked up. Yeah. So the building department apparently couldn't make it tonight. His budget is including salary for the secretary, building official, deputy building official, overtime, blight inspector, training, equipment maintenance, inspection supplies, cell phone. Grand total of $314,400.
Make a motion to accept.
Second.
Motion to second by Commissioner Lugi. Any discussion?
Yeah. Just refresh my memory, Mayor, if you wouldn't mind. Back some time ago, and I don't remember if it was a town council meeting or when it was, but I know that there was some conversation about increasing the building fees. Well, the fees in the building department, are restructuring them somehow?
That's still in the works. Matter of fact, the building official contacted me today. It's a process, but it's going to end up at the town council.
Then that'll increase some revenues, hopefully. Okay, perfect. Thanks.
Any other discussion? Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Favor.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Lucci?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
Yep. And the last part is the Building Department Capital Improvement Plan. They have some items here. Didn't get a chance to talk to them, but they're looking for a four-wheel drive SUV, office upgrades, and municity customization. That's the software they use to generate the permits, etc. SUV, they're looking for $40,000, office upgrades $20,000, and municity customization another $20,000 for $80,000 on that one. This building and 2020. Yeah, okay, these are just the breakdown of it. So that's what they want for their capital plan.
I make a motion that we accept everything but the vehicle.
I would make a motion, we'll just discuss it, the whole thing.
Do you second it?
Yeah, I'll second it. I'll second the motion.
Second for the discussion?
Yeah. Putting the SUV in here, all the vehicles come out of public works, so they really kind of control the purse strings, so to speak, for that. So I would support the motion to approve the office upgrades and municity customization for $40,000.
Any further discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote.
It's 40,000, right? So,
yeah.
Okay, I'm just.
Can you just tell me what the whole entire thing is right now that you want us to vote on?
Well, we're voting
a couple things.
Yeah, what we're voting on is they submitted their request with three items. We are only going to approve two of them. One is office upgrades, and the other one is municity customization, which is their software they use for
plotting
permits.
So no vote on the vehicle.
Correct.
Right.
Okay.
In fact, let me modify the motion to be clear on that. We are going to approve the office upgrades, municity customization, and not approve the four-wheel drive SUV because that is typically done out of public works.
Correct. Roll call vote, please.
Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Murphy?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Lucci?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
All favor. Anything else, Dave?
And that's it.
Thank you. That's a clarification.
We'll move on to item 13, remarks from the public and a 3-minute limit. Remarks from the public?
I'm 19 Sharp Hill Road. I don't know your name. I'm so sorry.
Kim, can you?
Lucci.
Talk a
Lucci? Is that right?
Yeah, I can't hear.
So I'd like to kind of follow up with Commissioner Lucci when he talked about the data. I think you are absolutely correct. It needs to be delved into deeply. The only way to do that is to take the time and literally piece things apart to find out what you're really looking at. I think we know bits and pieces, but nobody's taken the time to really take that deep dive that's necessary to find what everybody is really looking for, from volunteers to paid staff. Something else I want you to start to consider, it is too late for this year, but as a taxpayer, I've found out a while back, and I've talked to different people, but it's my understanding that the volunteer fire department only have to audit the money that you guys give them, the $90,000, $100,000, whatever you choose to give them. They aren't required to give a full audit on what they bring in on a yearly basis. And as somebody who gets million-dollar grants where she works and has to turn in full audits on all of her money, not just the money she's gotten from one grant to another grant to another grant, I find that a little hypocritical, to be quite honest. They pull in a lot of money from their ambulance calls. Those ambulance call dollars do not come back to the town. We, as taxpayers, are paying for our paid staff, and that's fine, but we give a lot more than just that $90,000, $100,000 to those departments. They house our fire trucks and all of our other equipment. We pay for the gas. We pay for all of that. Technically, all they're really paying for are the things within their buildings, which they make more than enough money on their ambulance calls to support that, as well as being able to save up for their new ambulances as they come through. So it's just something to consider. Obviously, it is not something that you would do this year. But for this next coming year, fiscal year, I really think that is something that you and the town should consider. And I will be putting out an email to not just you, but also the town council, because I think that is an area that we are quite negligent in. And we don't know where all the money is being spent. Nor do we need to know quite all of it, but we put a lot of money into these fire departments, and including equipment and maintenance and everything else. It's not just the $90,000 or $100,000 we choose to give each department, and I think we need to look a little deeper to make sure that our money is going where it needs to go, and I'm just putting that on the table.
Thank you. Anybody else wishing to speak?
Seabury Road, Lebanon. Commissioner Lucci, welcome.
Thank you.
I think this is your first meeting.
It is.
Just a couple of data points here. From November of 25 to February of 26, the total calls for the 4 months were 1,050. So out of those 1,050, the EMS calls were 864, fires were 79, mutual aid out of town were 6, hazmats were 27, MVAs were 41, service calls were 8, 19 were utility emergencies, EMS calls per district, Company 1 had 344, Company 2 had 309 calls, Company 3 had 76 calls, Company 4 had 169 calls. So I think we have to look at this data, and like Councilor Baker said, we need a plan going forward. I think we're going to work on this. I think I spurred a little bit of a conversation last month at the council meeting. As far as putting things in perspective, I think last year we had 3,700 calls in Mottville. The city district in Norwich did 2,895 calls with 13 guys on a shift. And we do it with four and a handful of volunteers. Plus we do transports with the ambulances. So the day of the fire on Hidden Acres, worst case scenario, two of the guys are on the ambulance and the other guys had to shoot across town. Another interesting key point here, in Chesterfield, when we get down there at 5 o'clock, there was a call on Occam Lane, which is right behind Mohegan's Firehouse, for a fire alarm. The first truck there was M32, which is Chesterfield's tanker. That's crazy. Like, I don't know where the breakdown was. The guys on the east side were out on the call. But we have to utilize our mutual aid. Like, I don't know why the tribe wasn't started to that. I know it was a fire alarm, but still, that's 30. It takes, you're hauling with that tanker, and it's not meant to haul. You got to drive with due regard. So I think we need to put our heads together, sit down, come up with a plan, and move forward and not get in each other's throats, because I know it's going to be a us versus them. I've seen it, but we need to work together. Thanks.
Thank you, Mike. Anybody else wishing to speak?
Josh Braga, 155 Sandwich Road, Colchester.
I just want to bring up what Councilor Baker was saying about having a plan to add on extra staffing. Do you know what position could be added to this town that would not only be beneficial to having a plan to extra staffing, but also a capital improvement plan to our fire service in general? A fire chief, a townwide fire chief. We need one person in charge of all the four fire companies and the paid staff who oversees all the problems with staffing, capital improvement, staffing and capital improvement of the town's fire and EMS service. Not to mention, this would also take the load off of Fire Marshal Meagle's hands with supervising us and other problems that go on with the fire service. We need one set of SOPs, SOGs, response guidelines, and more. The list goes on and on. This isn't about paid versus volunteer. This is about one fire service working together. Thank you.
Thank you, Josh. Anybody else wishing to speak? Anybody else wishing to speak? Last call. Thank you.
New business. I forgot the capital plan for the fire.
We need to go back to new business because we did not include the capital plan for the fire service.
Sorry about that. We'll be done by 9. Well, maybe earlier. So this is from the fire department's capital plan. Chief Turner basically maintains the spreadsheet for all the apparatus and when they were put into service, and hopefully by NFPA recommendations, the year that they should be replaced. That being said, the first item on the list is replacement of M15, which is the town's aerial device. It's a 2004 Ferrera 107-foot steel ladder, 1250 GPM pump, 300 gallons of water. And again, they're looking to replace it for the cost of $2,200,000.
And that's just an estimate.
Of course. And if we were to delay it, I guess the estimates are next year it would go up to $2,310,000. The following year, $2,425,500, et cetera. So sooner the better, I guess, is the answer. To my knowledge, the apparatus is in good shape. I would assume that its replacement is based on the fact that it's meeting the NFPA requirements for replacement. Anybody able to speak on that? One of the chiefs? I know Chief Turner's not here. Okay. Thank you. This unit was, like I said, put in service in 2004, and looking to replace it in, start the replacement in this year. Time is not, it takes about 4 hours for, or 4 years for delivery. Is that what you think, yep. Counselor?
Yep. So. 4 years to get a fire truck.
Recommend approval of the replacement for the ladder M15.
Second. Any discussion?
Yes. Do we need it? I had to ask.
Yes. As Fire Marshal Meagle was talking earlier about the construction of some buildings up there on off of 32 by Fort Shantock, three-story buildings. We have other buildings around town, and not just things that you want that are high. You may need the ladder just for to extend out to rescue somebody.
Is
Montville
the only
like
one
that
has the ladder?
It's the town ladder. It's the only ladder in town, yes.
Town staff.
Thank you.
Yeah, typically you get a big fire, you're going to have multiple aerials there. So we're just one.
Can I ask when was the last time it was taken out? Do we know that? Or we just need it for the three stories?
No. I mean, it goes out to every fire. It's supposed to go out to every fire.
It was at Hidden Acres.
Yeah.
Any other discussion? It's coming to the end of its life, and the rules say in FPA that you know every whatever the year is for that, that's it. So in order to maintain that, within the next 4 years, we need to stop putting money away for it and be able to have it, because it's 2004?
204, yeah. 20.
In 204, so it's reaching the end of its life, if not already.
I know this doesn't have anything to do with this particular ladder truck, but I know every year everybody comes back and they always want a new apparatus. Is there any way we can just look at the whole...
You do. You have it on that spreadsheet.
Yeah, but the whole not for the CIP, but the whole town, everybody's vehicles, do they all have to be updated because they run out of life, like 2004, you said this one...
Well, it becomes a question of liability. If NFPA recommends you replace a piece of apparatus at 20 years, and you say, well, it's in good shape, I'm going to keep it for 10 more years, and the brakes fail 5 years later.
That's what I want.
I mean, they're inspected every year, but.
So you guys are? Do you think we do need this ladder truck?
We got to get it on You got to get it on there now to start putting money away, so that the council knows that we're going to need $2.2 million for a ladder truck, and you know we can't surprise them with it when it's reaching its end, and then you still got to wait 4 more years. So we need to put it on their radar that it has to be, you know, something that they're going to have to look at. I don't think the town's going to cough up $2.2 million this year, but, you know.
Well, you don't typically have to affront the whole amount. You can bond it out, and however the best way to pay for it is.
Any further discussion? Roll call vote?
Oh, hang on.
Yeah. I'm sorry, Brian.
John, I don't know who got the bill on it, but didn't they just have a major failure on that truck, too, the left rear outrigger? Driver's side rear outrigger failed on that truck. Yes. It got stuck. It got stuck in the out position. They could only get it in so far, so it had to be sent out, and the whole outrigger had to be rebuilt. It was like a $22,000 bill.
Yes, the outrigger was redone. It was on the driver's side, I think it was.
Driver's side rear.
Yeah, and it's perfectly working fine. That truck is being certified every year, and all the upkeep is being kept on it. Yes, you could start ordering a truck now, but honestly, it still has a little bit more time left in it, and it is being maintained, and budget-wise, it's doing perfectly fine. So,
I agree, and that's why, you know, let's say we're 4 or 5 years away from seeing it. What condition will the truck be in now? We need to start. If you don't need to spend, if you start saving the money for it, and you get 3 years out, 4 years out, the truck is still good, you don't need to spend the money to spend it. If the truck is still holding on, it can be certified. But the day that they say it's no longer certifiable, then they'll have to make a move.
At that point, I mean, we do have our mutual aid companies that we can use their ladders. I mean, our ladder, well, we need it for Rand Whitney. We need it for Stop and Shop. We need it for Home Depot. Like the bigger buildings, the industrial buildings, is definitely what we need it for. And we need it for the higher buildings that we're getting, the 3 stories, 4 stories that we're, you know, the apartment building, the one across from Fort Shantock.
Oxo Lofts as well.
Oxo Boxo, same thing.
Mm-hmm. So, and that's residential.
But this one, we still have it. And if it fails, if we get to it and it fails, we have our mutual aid companies. There's plenty of ladders in the area, trust me, that we'll be able to call them in if we need help.
I think.
Love mutual aid.
Huh?
Love mutual aid.
That's why the ladder trucks are there. So, yeah, spending $2.2 million on the vehicle.
Love mutual aid.
Yeah, but you can't.
Yeah, but if, what you're saying is if you put it in now, then in 4 or 5 years, if it fails, you already have it in there. So you're kind of covering yourself for the five years that it takes to get the truck.
You could get another 10 years out of it. I mean, it's in decent condition that I think that we have plenty of time to think about it in the next couple of years of ordering one.
Or they could go to a call tonight, bend the ladder, and that'd be it.
What's that?
I said they could go on a call tonight, bend the ladder, hit something, bend the ladder, it's out, it's all done.
You know what? Any department could do that.
Exactly.
You know? And bend it, but you're not gonna, you can't predict that. I mean, you're saying what if all day long. So, just think about
that.
And Gary, I think you could probably speak better to this, or Steve, you might be able to than I can, but the first ladder truck in this town was 1979. And that was bought because of a fatal fire on the three decker right down here at the corner. And they didn't have a ladder truck to rescue the people out of the building. They lost lives in that building. So that's why that ladder was purchased. Everybody recognized we needed it in the town. And then in 1996 came the casino. They never had an aerial ladder in there. Then they had one for a while, and they got rid of it. So we actually would be first due into the casino on something where they needed an aerial device because they're going to call in town. So there is a history of why we do need it, why it's important in a town. So,
how far down was it? I couldn't see that. How far down? You prove it tonight, but it's not for what year? 4 or 5 years, you said, or now?
Well, 4 years.
I'm sorry?
It's 22 years old now, so 3 years would make it 25 is when it has to be replaced. So in 3 years, it has to be replaced.
But when on the CIP was the date we're putting in for them to start putting money aside now?
This year. This coming year, or
but they're not coming up with the $2 million they'll put.
The idea is that if you write a contract now, you're stuck at that price. If you wait until
it goes up, right?
Yeah, it just keeps going up. So,
when you look at the chief's memo, and there's nothing saying what he put it. I mean, that's his best guesstimate.
Yep.
Now we all know what's going on with the tariffs, and fire trucks are made out of metal, so those tariff prices are going to affect the cost of this truck going out years. As Steve alluded to, if you could buy it now for 2.2, you waited 3 more years, it may be close to $3 million. Who knows? So purchasing it now might be better than waiting. It would save us money, but again, that's up to this committee. I'm not advocating any either way. It's up to you guys, but something to think about. And if we're going to start putting money away, then we have to make a conscious effort to make that investment and put that money away, not just say we're going to and not do it, to offset the cost.
Any further discussion? Roll call vote.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Favor.
Commissioner Lucci?
Favor.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Stewart?
Favor.
Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
All right. Two more items under capital for the fire departments. Next one is equipment. This is the turnout gear. Typically, the departments go to capital and buy X number of sets of turnout gear on a regular basis, as the fire marshal talked about in his capital plan for the career firefighters. Turnout gear is only good for 10 years. It's supposed to be inspected every year, I guess. But once it reaches 10 years, it can only be used outside, cannot be used as interior firefighting gear. So the proposal is to appropriate $100,000 for turnout gear. That would be split between the four fire departments. Roughly five sets of gear for each department. And that would include, let's see what he say. Jacket and coat and pants, and suspenders for each set of gear. So.
Did you make a motion?
I'll make a motion. Recommend approving $100,000 for turnout gear for the four fire departments.
Second. Any discussion?
I just have a question. So that's five sets, or say five, for yep. each fire department.
Yep.
I guess, do we have a list of who, do we have a list of who needs them? Or are you just guesstimating five people?
It's up to the chiefs to determine who who's going to get it in each department.
Well, I can say in the past that I know the last time that we did this and they had, say for instance, I'm just throwing these names out there. Montville had 10 extra sets from the last buyout. And Oakdale needed, so they took in three members. They needed gear. The chief had the extra sets here, gave them to Oakdale so that they could outfit new firefighters. So they kind of work it out amongst themselves who's going to get it. I mean, five sets is really nothing.
Do they run out of lifetime as well? Or?
Yeah.
10 years.
So that's a...
Yep.
They also do annual testing on that gear as well. It comes to a point where it's at a certain point into its life expectancy. I believe it's within 3 years or something like that. They have to go through hydrostatic testing if they get a burn on them, or they go and they get checked for rips and tears. They're laundered, so this stuff is being maintained. But the shelf life on turnout gear based on use and a care and maintenance on it is average of 7 to 10 years. 10 years max is when you have to replace it.
And this, I mean, no disrespect by this, but there was a conversation. Somebody said something that Chesterfield didn't have a lot of members right now. Is that what I heard?
Well, it's...
Do they have at least five? Like, are we purchasing these? And if they don't have the members to wear them, well, and I'm not picking on Chesterfield. I
understand, but you're not just saying, well, here's your five sets of gear. If he doesn't need five sets of gear, then
he goes in like Murphy.
Yeah, it's going to be in the pool type of thing, and I don't think they're going to buy all the gear right now because the gear is tailored to individuals. I mean, it's not, if I get a set of gear, I'm the only one that can wear it. I mean, if I stop going to calls, then somebody else who's my size would wear it.
Any other discussion?
Are the four volunteer departments using the same spec as what the career staff is getting?
Yes. Uh-huh. I believe so, yeah.
Okay. Everybody has the same spec.
Okay. My question is, how did they come up with the numbers they needed?
I'm only going to surmise on this, is that they know what their average is that they're taking in. I mean, we just interviewed last month four new prospective members, and three of them are firefighter ones that are coming in. So we don't have, I know that Oakdale doesn't have the gear for them right now. So, but I think that's how you have to kind of look at it. You kind of know what your membership is going to look like, new memberships that come in. You know, you could spend $4,000 on gear and that person come in, and this just happened to us also. The guy left. So we spec'd out his gear, and now we got to find somebody that can fit into it. So,
who's bought the gear in the past?
Well, I can't speak for today because I'm not involved with that anymore. But when I was doing the budget, I would put in for $15,000 for new equipment or new gear in my budget. But I think that they can find it, that they can buy it cheaper if they buy more.
Well, my question is that I've seen the capital for the turnout gear for the paid staff, but I haven't seen the capital request for the volunteer staff before.
If they can get it, they get it. I mean, they have to get it. They're going to get the money. I believe that I'm going to say maybe 5-6 years ago, this group had said to change that because why would the fire departments put it in their budget? But it should be a capital improvement plan because they're buying it every year. So they should forecast that out.
They've got it in their the capital spreadsheet here for every other year, putting in so this year is 100,000 in 2 years from now, 120,000, two more years, another 120,000. So
that's going forward, though.
Going forward, yeah. I can't speak to exactly
what they've done in the past.
I don't see it,
but that doesn't mean it didn't happen. But
yeah. Well, it used to be, if I remember correctly, it used to be part of our individual budgets and the fire department budgets, and we put in for so much turnout gear. And then we changed a few years ago and said, okay, this is what you're getting. The fire departments, this is what you're getting. So I don't know if they're, so they're not, and they're putting the money in the capital plan or requesting it in the capital plan, so it's not in their regular budgets anymore.
I think back in the day, Lenny, you could get the whole set of gear for under a grand. It's $5,000 now.
Yeah.
By the time you get boots, helmet, coats, gloves, all this other stuff, so the departments can't put in $100,000 or let's just say add $25,000 to their budget for gear. And that was what the issue was. That the town was giving has given the fire departments the same $90,000 to $100,000 for the last 20 years. So if you add $25,000 in on top of that, saying, well, we can't increase your budget $25,000, that should be a capital item. That's how it ended up in the capital program.
Right. Maybe Chief Suarez can add some to this.
State your name, please, Matt.
Yep, Chief Suarez, Mulligan Fire Company. Yeah, real quick. I know in 2019 it was on the capital plan because we got all new gear in 2019. We got it again, or not all, but a big chunk of it then. And then it was either 22 or 23. We got another chunk, and now there's a chunk coming up now.
By the town?
Yes.
Yeah. All
right. So.
There's somewhere.
I don't know. I could be wrong on a 22 or 23. It was in that time frame because my gear was, I got some in 19 and some in 22. So,
was that 21?
21. Okay. Well, also keep in mind, as the fire marshal had indicated earlier, explained to everybody, contractually, the career staff is obligated to have two sets of gear. On the volunteer side, no such deal. So everybody's got one set of gear. If you get a call,
we all get two.
You do get two?
We all get two. No, I have one. Thank you very much.
Some of you may have two, but the ones that don't have two, that have one set of gear, if that set of gear gets contaminated at an incident, it goes out of service. And you got to go digging through the closet to throw something on the guy's back so he can fight a fire. So just be cognizant of that as well.
Okay, any further discussion? Roll call vote.
Okay. Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Lucci?
Favor.
Commissioner Murphy?
Favor.
Commissioner Stewart?
Favor.
Commissioner Perkins?
Pass. Yes. Sorry. I wrote pass. I'm tired.
We can't do that until after 9.
I'm all right,
last item. One more. Montville Fire Company, and this really goes across all four departments, needs to continue replacing their SCBA packs and bottles. The price includes 12 air packs and face masks with 36 4.5 30-minute bottles. Total cost, $180,000. These also are one of those things that have a life expectancy, and once they hit it, that's it. And this is part of a program to replace all of them. They're all now going to be the same type of air pack.
Anybody? Once they expire.
Yeah. Well, the bottles can be only tested for so many cycles, and then they're done. The packs, I think, are a little bit better, but they have a life expectancy. Oh.
And this was, I think they're putting it for 2028, Steve? 26, 27, I'm sorry. I didn't put my glasses on.
No, it's 26. Yeah. It's this year, yeah.
Maybe set a date. Did you make a motion?
Yeah, make a motion, recommend approval to complete or continue replacing air packs according for $180,000.
I'll second it.
Motion's made and seconded. Is there any further discussion? Hearing none. All those in favor say aye. Oh, I'm aye. Sorry, roll call vote.
We're trained.
Darn. Yeah.
Commissioner Perkins?
Yes.
Commissioner Stewart?
Yes.
Commissioner Murphy?
Yes.
Commissioner Lucci?
Yes.
Commissioner Callahan?
Yes.
Commissioner Gillette?
Favor.
Moving up.
Well, I don't know if you wanted to go back or if anybody wanted to comment.
Item 14, remarks from the mayor.
Oh, I'm speechless.
You and me both.
Well, let me start off by saying how much I do appreciate the police department and the officers that were named by Lieutenant Radford tonight, Officer Witz, Detective Sapiati, Officer Ficino twice, and Detective Noyes and Officer O'Shoney. You know, for them to get the recognition, for them to do the right thing, make the right decisions, to take the extra step to do the right thing, you know, it says a lot for what's going on there in the department. They're making good arrests, they're doing good investigations, and they deserve the recognition, and I just want to thank them individually. I am extremely disappointed to say that the firefighters' contract has not been approved. I don't get a vote. And I still remain optimistic that we can get this thing settled. It's been a long time coming, and I'm disappointed. Let me leave it at that. I apologize for missing the swearing-in, most of the swearing-in for firefighter Del Mastro and for the assistant deputy fire marshal Forrest. They were good hires, and I'm really pleased to bring them on board. Travis, the deputy fire marshal, has already come up with a few good suggestions and some good involvement. Tells me a lot. The involvement is there, and I hear nothing but good things about the firefighter Colin doing a good job. Appreciate it very much. The animal control agreements that we have with Basra, Salem, Colchester, and the tribe, I can tell you that all four of them are satisfied and happy with the service that we're providing to them. You know, hindsight, best sight, we should have built a bigger one because we could have got more people on board, more towns, because NECOG was trying to pull out from the 19 towns that they represent, and they one by one called me up and wanted to get on board with us, but we couldn't. But now NECOG has reversed their decision, but we're happy with what we've got, and we're doing it good, and mainly because of the part-timers that we've been able to hire. They're doing a good job. And Bruce Ribello is doing a great job as the animal control officer. We probably should have done that a long time ago. For the radio systems, the $350,000 that we have towards the radios now, we're fortunate we have that. I've been trying to get the state to come up with the additional $500,000. And some days they tell me it looks good, and some days they tell me it looks bad. So we're still hoping that we can get the money for that. And I don't know where the money's going to come for all this other stuff.
Just a recommendation, Mayor.
I hear you. I hear you. I'm good.
Thank you, sir. Remarks from the town council liaison, Councilor Baker.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like to welcome Commissioner Lugie to the group tonight, and thank you for your input. It was very valuable, very informative. Also, I would like to welcome Deputy Fire Marshal Roberts and Firefighter Del Mastro to the team. Look forward to working with you, and hope you have a safe and long and prosperous career with the town of Montville. Also, as the mayor said, not to reiterate, but the positive correspondence for our police officers, and I won't name them again. Great job. You guys really are killing it out there, and I don't mean it that way, but you're really killing it out there. Let's see here. I would also like to thank Kim and Mike and Josh for standing up tonight and giving us their opinions on things and what their concerns are. That's what this meeting's for. You got something to say? Come say it. We'd be more than happy to listen to it. On the side of the town council, being on the finance committee, it's not going to be an easy year. It really isn't. And that's why I asked you guys the fire side, if you're going to come forward with a proposal for personnel, a comprehensive plan. We need it. We need numbers. Knowing my colleagues that are on that committee, it's not going to be an easy sell. I'm not saying that we're not going to look at it or listen to it, but understand that a mill in this town, one mill of taxes is about $1,600,000 and change for one mill of taxes in real dollars. So every time we boost the mill rate by a mill, we're asking the taxpayers for $1.6 million out of their pockets. This isn't the only budget. We've got other budgets in town. We haven't even started looking at them yet. Once the mayor supplies us with a budget, that's when we get involved as our committee. And then you've got the Board of Ed. That's the biggest budget in the town, so keep that in mind as well. But I, again, as I always do, I would like to thank the public safety team. You guys are doing a great job out there. A lot of calls. When you look at the call average, I've been supplying the town council every meeting with total number of calls by both PD and fire, and then your average calls per day, just so they understand what's going on and have a better idea what's going on in town. So, again, thank you. Thanks for giving me the time, and you guys all be safe out there.
Thank you, Councilor. Remarks from the commissioners. Commissioner Gillette.
All set.
Commissioner Callahan.
Yep. First, I want to congrats Mr. Roberts and Mr. Del Mastro and welcome Mr. Lugie. I do just want to say that, you know, just kind of across the board, money sucks to talk about, obviously, with everybody all the time in your life. And it's hard decisions, and you feel bad. Up here, I feel bad, or I feel comfortable, or whatever my personal feelings are when things are presented to us. But the end of the night, I'd want all of the people that are in the fire departments and the police departments to stay safe at all costs. And I sleep a little bit better knowing that you guys have my back if anything ever happens out in the field there. And I just hope that no matter what happens with the end of the budgets, with everything, that everybody has what they need to continue to be safe and go home to your families at night. And that's it.
Thank you, Commissioner Lugie.
So I don't think the town fathers realize the roads that they built whenever they built them, right? Because you can't get from Chesterfield to Occam Lane very easy in a tanker, right? Montville will never be a 1710, 1720 town to NFPA standards, right? I think we all probably know that. You guys know that in the fire department, right? But we can't compare to other towns, right? Because everybody's different. We got to compare to what we have here in Montville, right? I think we can look at other towns as a model, maybe some ideas. But at the end of the day, right, I'll get behind you and I'll support additional staffing. But we got to have, like Councilor Baker said, a better plan, right? Got an email today about it. Wanted to talk about it. I need a little bit more, you know, to see, to get behind that plan. Because like everybody else, I'm a taxpayer. I lived in Norwich for 17 years, and what's happening in Norwich to the fire service right now is horrible. And I would hate to see that ever happen here in Montville. New to the commission, so I have a lot to learn. I'm taking it all in, but hopefully I can contribute and be a valuable member to the team.
Thank you very much. Commissioner Perkins?
Congratulate the new deputy fire marshal and the new career firefighter. I also think that this town does need to hire more career firefighters, but I do have to agree with Councilor Baker. Hopefully the fire marshal, when he comes to see you guys, comes with a plan and numbers to present to you so we can have the adequate career staffs that we are needed in this town. I back up both with Commissioner Lugi and Callahan.
Yeah, thanks.
Sorry. What you both said, just want to be safe. I backed them, but I do believe the numbers have to come be presented to Finance Committee.
Commissioner Stewart?
Well, I don't envy the mayor, the town council, Finance Committee's job of finding money for all this stuff. I appreciate everybody's help in putting this last-minute type of budget meeting together. The weather kind of kicked us in the butt a few times, and so next year hopefully it'll be done a little bit better. Yeah, congratulations to all of our new people, all the police that continue to do a great job. Everybody be safe. Yeah, we're going to get there eventually. Thank you.
Thank you. I have a couple things I'd like to say, of course. Just about every single night, my wife tells me all the crap that's on Facebook, on the Montville sites, the Montville pissed off people, the Montville this site, the Montville that site. Because I don't have Facebook. I could care less what's on Facebook. But after every single council meeting, somebody, at least 5 to 10 people, have nothing good to say about anything that goes on in the town of Montville. I don't care what it is. And you can bet that if the town of Montville raises taxes, 1 mil, they'll be screaming out there. It's very, very difficult to sit here knowing that the taxpayers have to listen to all these things that were going to come out. Because there's people that are going to comment about this meeting that are not even sitting their asses in this seat. They're going to listen to the tape, and they're going to take what they want from it, and they're going to run with it. And there's two purposes in that. It's not to make any of us look bad. They always want to make the leader look bad. And so the leader is the mayor. And the leader is the town council chairman has to sit here. And then the other ones that sit with them to make these decisions to spend this money. For those of you who know, I stood here probably 15 years ago right at that podium. And I said then, and I was the fire chief at that point for 30 years. And I said, I think the town of Montville needs a fire chief, a full-time fire chief. I'm on record of saying it. I still stand by that. However, it isn't as simple as just hiring a fire chief. When you have four separate departments who have a contract with the town of Montville, and there's a lot of different things that go on. There's a lot more involved than just making and hiring somebody to be a fire chief. Hiring more paid firefighters isn't going to help. It's four people. You can't just keep throwing money at it. We have to come up with a different way. What that is, I bang my head every day thinking about it. It's not that simple. When somebody, when Mrs. Dole stood up and asked about the audit, I have no issues with that at all. I think that's a good deal. I think you can go right on the federal government website and you can look at the audits that every department has to do. Because we have to file an audit with the federal government because we take Medicare money and Medicaid and welfare. So the audits for the ambulance money are out there. And you can go anywhere you want and you can look on that federal money, and that's a federal audit. We have to do it, but and that is the law. And this, and I know that the union has already done that once because they presented all those facts here a couple years ago about ambulance money, what everybody took. So anybody can take it and find out what they want. You can request an FOI to a department because we take federal money. I can speak for Oakdale. I know when our audits are done every year, and I know what it costs us to get them done. It's a lot of money. But that's what the law says that we have to do. The radios in the budget for all the staff in the town, I think, is probably going to be the next big expenditure. And we have to get radios for everybody. And I know that they're in there. We have two phases to get it done. So I'm sure that, you know, there's a few things in that budget that we have to do. Because the radios are terrible in this town. They really are. And I don't know what else to do about it. I met with the chief of police a couple weeks back, and he informed me about the money that Dine Bank had donated for the dog kennel and some other things that the Dine Bank had donated. When I left his office, I went right down here to the Moffle branch and asked to speak to the manager and told her that I appreciate what they did for the town of Moffle donating that money. And I think anybody that has an account with Dine Bank, if you go there, you should tell them the same thing because it will help keep them giving money to us that we could really use. And the last thing I just want to say is I want to thank Commissioner Stewart for stepping up while I've been sick for the last couple of months. I've had pneumonia twice, bronchitis twice, and COVID in 14 months. I've been in the hospital for more than 4 or 5 days. I've got damage to my lungs because of it. And I want to thank Commissioner Stewart for stepping up and taking care of things for me to get this through this budget time, because believe me, I have not been in any mood to deal with anything. So I do appreciate it. Thank you very much, Steve. That's all I have to say. Thank you. We'll call for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second. Anybody else? Anything?
Second.
Anybody in favor? All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Thank you. Thank you, everybody.
I've been sick for 3 hours at a time.